Welcome to Crawl Space. I'm Tim, here today with Lance. Lance, how's it going today?
It is going wonderfully today, Tim. We're coming up to the holiday season. And despite how cold-hearted, you know, we both are, we're very cold-hearted SOBs, time of year where you just really reflect and take a stock of everything that you appreciate.
You're absolutely right. And one of those things that I appreciate, well, I mean, there's a million, honestly, our listeners, right? I love it. Love our listeners. I would love it if every single one of them gave us a 5-star review. But I also love having these lighter conversations that we get to do occasionally, like in this episode, Lance. We're speaking with Jason, who has a new podcast called Santa Maybe a Criminal.
It is a wonderful conversation. It's a wonderful show. Jason's a wonderful human being. He's worked with us pretty closely within the network for a long time, editing several shows, and very talented individual. He's been working on this for, I think, maybe almost a year. He's been rolling this around and developing this show, getting it ready for the holiday season. And it was really, according to him, born out of a love for the true crime storytelling space and satire. And it is hilarious. And he's done a great job assembling this.
Yes, he really has. And it's getting better as it goes. I think there are 4 episodes that are out there right now, but there will be more soon. And you can get them all at his website, santamaybe.com. Great URL, too. And we'll also link to all of his social channels in the show notes.
So to circle back to a point you made earlier and to tie it all together, if you give us a 1-star review or a 2-star review, we're going to mark you down as naughty. We're going to let Jason know that Santa now knows that you're naughty. A 5-star review? That's nice.
Thanks a lot for listening. Make sure to check out Santa Maybe a Criminal.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Welcome to the podcast, Jason Ouzre. How the hell are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Couldn't be better. I thought we had Santa Claus himself here. When you said Jason, I was like, where is he? But now I'm seeing that it's actually Jason and not Santa Claus. He's definitely in the Christmas spirit here. And also in his workshop. Looks like you're running some tests over there in your workshop.
That's an autopsy room.
Okay.
Some insight into where the story might be going, maybe. Before we get into this incredible podcast that you have put together, let's hear a little bit about you and who you are and how are you in this world.
Yeah, sure. So I am obviously you mentioned I've got a new podcast that's out, but my background is in television and video production for the last almost 20 years. I went to school in Southwest Georgia, university called Valdosta State University, where I wanted to write and make movies. but the program was more journalism based. So I pestered my professors enough that they finally created a screenwriting curriculum and gave me an opportunity to do some things that were of a more narrative nature. And after I graduated college in the early 2000s, I worked on an independent film as an AD. And then I went into the television, local television production. And I've been doing that ever since. Born out of sort of the pandemic last year, I was kind of creatively frustrated. I wanted to have some sort of outlet. I've written a couple of movies as well that have been produced. So I started writing a movie, but I had wanted to produce a podcast for the last couple of years. I had an idea, not this one, but a different one. And as I was kind of, I was actually on the way this podcast came about, which is Santa May Be a Criminal. I was on a text thread with some other folks you all know, Rebecca Sebastian, Scott Musgrove, Shiloh Katniss, and Michelle Kazuba.
Never heard of them.
I don't know what the prompt was, but they, I said, this makes me want to do my Santa Claus is a Criminal podcast. And they said, wait, what? And that sort of spurned the conversation and everything. And that's how that was the seed that started it all.
I want to go back just a little bit. You said that you pestered your professors and they developed a screenwriting curriculum.
Yeah,
did they do it because you said we need a screenwriting curriculum?
I don't know if it was because of me. I know it happened around the time I was bugging them. Actually, one of the characters, Rodney Dale Murphy, who is in the first episode of the podcast, he's sort of the catalyst for the whole story. That guy's a name, his name is Frank Barnes, and he's the professor who actually created the screenwriting curriculum. But yeah, the program did not have a narrative format to it. It was all very journalism based, very focused on putting students into the local news track. And I wrote screenplays, I knew he wrote screenplays, and we were kind of trading scripts back and forth and just like giving commentary on, you know, each of them, on them as we get, you know, shared them. And yeah, and they developed a screenplay curriculum. I wrote a screenplay called Trojan Horse, which was about a condom designer whose condom designs were stolen by the American government for military purposes. And yeah, and that's how that started. You know, continuing down the path of making, creating content in that program, I also was fortunate enough to convince another professor, who is actually my advisor, to allow me to produce a short film for credit in my senior year. So the fall semester was, you know, prep, and the script was already written, so prep and production. And then the spring semester was post and you know, marketing and screening it for a group of people. So I was really fortunate that they all really gave me an opportunity to sort of step outside the bounds of what the program was to do something a little different.
And it's all led you here. To this moment where you have created a podcast that sort of satirizes, I guess, the true crime landscape a little bit. But it does take place in the real world, a world where Santa Claus exists.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, as I said, I was on this text thread with those rogue elves I mentioned before. And they really sort of perpetuated the idea. It was something I had kind of written a little piece of early on. I was fascinated with, you know, I love Christmas. I grew up loving Christmas like anybody. I love the true crime genre. I love comedy. I love sort of the earnestness of people. And particularly, you know, and I'm from the South, particularly Southern people who take things, you know, very seriously. There are some callbacks to other podcasts or nods to other podcasts sort of throughout the season that we are poking at, you know, gently poking at. But yeah, this is it's a world where Santa Claus is real, and the stakes for people around Christmas time are very, very real and taken very seriously. They want to make sure that they are on the nice list and not the naughty list. They don't want coal in their stockings. It was a fun project. It's a fun project to write, and it's sort of taken on a little bit of a life of its own. And I've got a lot of, you know, true crime podcasters that will be featured throughout the season. Their voices will be featured as characters throughout the season. So I'm really excited about that and about the way that the story's kind of shaping up, and, you know, it's sort of becoming its own universe, and that I have some ideas on, you know, a couple of spinoff stories, as well as already the plan for a second season, potentially a third season, if you know, things go well enough.
Well, okay. Tell us a little bit about the story. I don't want you to give out any spoilers, because I don't want you to get any coal in your stocking this year for doing so. But can you give us a synopsis of what season one entails?
Yeah, sure. So Richie Buck is an amateur podcaster. I went out and found a guy who sounded virtually exactly like me, named Richie Buck, to host the show. And he's an amateur podcaster who really loves Christmas. And he's confronted with the reality that Santa Claus is actually arrested on Christmas Eve while he's delivering presents. Now, Santa is arrested because he is at the scene of a death scene where a grandmother is dead on the side of the road, very near his reindeer. So Santa is also inebriated at the time. He has imbibed a little too much, what we call hunch punch, down here in the South. And the reason is because Rodney Dale Murphy, who I mentioned, he and his wife were out of milk. And so they had to leave Santa something to wash down his wife's peanut butter cookies, which are impossible to swallow. So
makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So Santa has his hunch punch. He flies away, and then he is found at the scene of this death, and he is believed to have hit this grandmother with his reindeer, and he is taken into custody there. And a lot of Richie Buck's he approaches the story as an investigation, but with the bias of wanting to save Christmas and wanting to free Santa Claus, because he sort of takes it on himself as he's now the anointed one to save Christmas. So yeah, that's sort of it in a nutshell. And then he runs in, he meets it turns out he's related to almost every person in town by some sort of, you know, third cousin sort of way. You know, he works with local law enforcement, including the sheriff, a guy named Bradley Dewberry, and Detective Samantha Strong, who's the lead investigator on the case. And so he works with them, and then he raises funds. He's unhappy with the sort of defense that Santa Claus has been provided. So he raises funds to find a better defense attorney. He does strike out on a trip to the North Pole to get some sort of on the ground background about Santa Claus. And again, all of this in hopes that he in fact will save Christmas.
You know, I was just thinking about something. You mentioned that you sort of take some shots at other podcasts over the course of the show, and there's only two episodes that are out right now, but if there is a single shot at us, I will bring the wrath of vengeance down upon thee.
Yeah, I certainly couldn't take a shot at you guys. But yeah, that... I have thought about, you know, there are some unique products that are placed in the show, and I was thinking about promoting Jack in the Box as a great place to eat based off of a recent edit that that I got to do. The first episode, for instance, and again, there'll be multiple different unique North Pole inspired products. And of course, one of the staples of podcasts are there are a lot of companies and brands that repeatedly, sponsor podcasts. And so in the first episode of Santa May Be a Criminal, it is sponsored by Better Elf, which is a company that provides therapy services, not unlike some that exist in the world. So anyhow, there are a lot of different ones of those that will be, making their appearance throughout the show as well.
How long did it take for you to conceive this and put together the episodes and then fold in those parody ads like Better Elf?
So the episodes themselves, I can write an episode in about a day, if I really sit down, and that's after, really kind of conceptualizing what it needs to have in it. And this season also there are things that sort of have moved from episode to episode as I've sort of continued to try to work on the structure, like the story structure of the season. In terms of editing the shows, I've kind of nailed it down to sort of about an average of about 45 minutes a page. And that's because, again, right now it's still early in the season, I'm sourcing sound effects and I'm finding different music tracks and I'm kind of working on a linear path through the episodes. I think that'll get a little quicker sort of by the end, but that's a lot of its discovery right throughout. And then, for Richie, he lives right around the corner. So I can just go grab him and have him revoice things as needed, to fix plot holes. If I need to, as we sort of move through the season, leaning into a lot of the things like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, leaning into these things that we've heard continuously, throughout our lives surrounding Christmas, the parody ads, those were things that were something that I wanted to do immediately. That was one of the things that really, kind of got me going. We have in episode two, Sled Box instead of Red Box, you rent North Pole based movies. DoorDasher provides food instead of DoorDash. There are these different things, and that was always part of the idea. Was I wanted to make sure I'm really excited about if you know the product Manscaped. I'm really excited about the parody of that one, which will be coming in an episode soon, but. That was always part of it, was that, again, it's a way to kind of make fun of, the genre in a lighthearted way, because that's the thing. Like, I'm not trying to be, vindictive or malicious about it. It's all in good fun. And it's all with, the utmost respect to people that actually create content. But I think it's fun to have a laugh with it as well.
And when you come up with these parody ads, like the when you came up with the one for Manscaped, like, are you just sitting at your dining room table and having dinner and then you just think of it and you start laughing and then your wife has to say, like, what are you laughing at?
Sometimes with that one in particular, I was actually on a walk in the neighborhood and I was listening to, if you want to hear something really funny, and Scott would kill me, will kill me when he hears me say this. If you go back and find LA Not So Confidential's Manscaped ad that they did, I don't remember when this was. It might've been late last year, early this year. That's when I was like, I have to parody that product, because it was just hysterical. Like, I texted him and I was like, this is the funniest thing I think I've ever heard. I know you're reading an ad, but knowing him and all that, like I was just crying, laughing, walking down the street. And, but that's when a lot of it is. It's sort of the repetition of hearing these things, consistently throughout podcasts. The fortunate thing is that Christmas is so pervasive now. It touches on so many different things. It's not that difficult to find a tie and find a link back to those ads. So you've got things like Sherry's Berries. Well, we got Mary's Berries. There are a lot of ways to kind of fold in like the language of Christmas or that theme into these different products. And then of course, if I can't find a way, then I just find a different product to attach it to.
Right. And we mentioned this takes place in the real world, the world where Santa exists. I've seen some Krampus out in the hills by my house lately. Is there any Krampus in this show?
So Krampus will make an appearance, but not, I don't think he's going to make an appearance this season. I may write something in there at the end. The Easter Bunny will make an appearance. Because in this world, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, all of these different myths are very real. And in this story, we don't necessarily call out a town. We do call out a county, and the county is Screven County here in Georgia. And the reason that I chose that county is because there is a town called Santa Claus, Georgia, that's in that county. So there are a lot of like little things like that that I've placed. If you listen to the first trailer, when it says the GPS says how far Richie is from the North Pole, that distance plus I added 8675309 miles on the end because I'm a fan of the 80s and I'm throwing things in like that too.
Why not?
Right? You know, why not? Exactly. I can do whatever I want, right? But the that distance before that sort of suffix is the actual distance from Santa Claus, Georgia to the North Pole. So, you know, and then there's Morse code. If you listen, Morse code is the preferred method of communication at the North Pole. There are pieces of Morse code in that first trailer that you can hear throughout. And those do actually translate to real Christmas messages or messages about the storyline in particular, like Santa is innocent and things like that. And so I'm really trying to take it into very, very granular detail and things that where I can, just so there's additional things that can be talked about or discovered as people want to try to, you know, listen to the show.
Fun fact, did you know that Tim actually met Santa Claus?
Is that right?
The Santa Claus.
This is true.
That's amazing.
A fellow named Chris Kringle who lived in Alaska. I believe he lived in North Pole, Alaska.
Nice.
Yes, this is a true story. Actually, John Ronson has written a short story about the same person, and he was sort of looking for him. It's in his book, Lost at Sea. Yeah, and I actually had met him before, I guess, before he wrote that. It's an interesting story, but yeah, it was a guy named Chris Kringle. Claimed it was his birth name, but I don't believe that part was true. But he did live in the North Pole, Alaska.
That's fantastic. I love it. That's great.
He's so jealous, Tim.
He dressed like Santa and like looked like him. He had the beard. He dressed in red with boots and everything. Like he actually played Santa Claus at I guess it's called the Santa Claus House in that area. I think listeners out there, he was pretty well known. So if any listeners are out there from that, feel free to send an email. We can discuss. He's sort of a complicated character.
And Tim has reached back into his. Tim's got everything behind him. The whole world's behind him. Looks like a business card from Chris Kringle.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Now, you mentioned some spinoffs that are going to stem from this story.
Sure.
It's a two-part question. One, can you tell us a little bit about the spinoffs? And while you're telling us about that, think about your favorite television spinoff. I'm curious what your favorite television spinoff is.
Part one, the spinoffs. So I have two sort of conceptualized right now. The scripts are not written for them yet, but one that was kind of leading the pack, and now the second idea is sort of taken over. The first idea I had was to look at the Tooth Fairy, an investigation into the Tooth Fairy, because she's doing some really shady shit with all the teeth that she's collecting. And even my little boy the other day was like, "Hey, Daddy, do you know the Tooth Fairy uses her teeth to build her castle?" And I'm like, "Whoa, wait a minute, that's pretty Interesting. I don't know that I'd ever heard that.
What?
I know. I don't have out of the mouths of babes, right?
That's terrifying.
Wait, your child thought of that idea?
I don't know if he thought of it or heard it or whatever, but he told me it. And I was like, okay, that brings it back a little bit to like in contention with this other idea.
Wait, I need to dig into this a little bit more. The theory is that the tooth fairy will collect the children's teeth and then build her castle with them.
That is what he told me.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
What else is she doing with them?
Yeah, exactly. What else is she doing with them?
Yeah, little bricks, I guess.
Yeah, she's like got a beach with each sand pebble is a different tooth from all the kids around the world over the years. You know, like
I love it.
Yeah,
she's got so many. She's got millions. Yeah, billions.
That's it. Yeah, and I've talked to my dentist to come on and be a character in that series. So that would be there is quite a bit of shade thrown at the Tooth Fairy. The Tooth Fairy does not have a lot of love in this universe. So that's one. The other series is I really want to do a deep dive into the elves at the North Pole, because certainly there are some union issues there. There are some things, some shady things that happen. I have written the first line of the first script of that spinoff, and that is I Believe in the North Pole, which is a callback to The Godfather, which is the first line of The Godfather is I Believe in America. And so, you know, there that will take the route down the mafia way, because I certainly think that is a fun and exciting way to do that. And then in terms of my favorite spinoff, I don't know that it's necessarily, but I love the show The Office. Like, that's one of my favorite shows of all time. I love the British
Never heard
version
of it.
I love the British version before the American version was even created. I hated the American pilot because it was, you know, just a knockoff of the British.
Yeah.
But you know, when they found their stride, I thought that was the best show on TV. Mike Schur and Greg Daniels spun off of that and did Parks and Rec, which it took me a little time to get to enjoy, but I really, really enjoy that series now. So that's the first thing that comes to mind is Parks and Rec. And even though it's not like a true spinoff, it is like thematically, it's the same, you know, sort of idea that The Office is the look at the private sector, and then Parks and Rec is the look at the public sector. So I really, they're kind of family like that. So that would be what I'd say. How about you guys?
Good answer.
I thought you were going to say Joey.
I almost said Joey to get a reaction out of you guys. But I didn't want that to be on the internet.
same question to you, Tim.
My favorite spinoff TV show? Gosh, I don't know. I'm really was thinking about it during Jason's answer, and I'm not really sure I have a great answer. I don't know.
Joni loves Chachi. That's for me. That's for my money. Joni loves Chachi.
Maybe if I watched Breaking Bad, I'd probably like Better Call Saul.
I really don't know.
That was a good spinoff.
I guess, yeah, I don't watch that much TV to. And I also, like, I didn't even realize that Parks and Rec was a spinoff of The Office. I knew it was
It's not the character, but it is the, just the DNA of it is it's like a cousin, you know? It's very similar in the DNA.
It's like a
kissing
cousin.
And they have the same
cousin.
Showrunners. Yeah. So.
But, yeah. Joni loves Chachi. Can't beat it.
That's amazing.
I mean, I love the nature of holiday movies, you know, and that has sort of become, you know, ridiculous with the amount that are sort of pumped out each holiday season. But, you know, there's something about the Charles Dickens classic A Christmas Carol that really I love, and they've redone it a million times, and it's always good, I feel like.
Yeah.
Scrooged with Bill Murray is always one of my favorites to watch around the holiday season.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm very excited. Sorry, you mentioned Christmas Carol. Are you a fan of Christmas Carol, Jason?
Yeah.
Every year up in this area, the North Shore Music Theater puts on their production of A Christmas Carol. I might have even said it last year, we make it a tradition to go. We didn't go last year, obviously. So this is our first year back, and we're going this weekend, and I can't be more excited for it.
That's fantastic.
I'm a free plug here for that. If you haven't seen it, if you're in the North Shore area of Massachusetts, do yourself a favor. The last like 10 minutes of that show, if you're not like on your feet, like totally emotional, totally thankful for life, you're dead inside.
That's
such
awesome.
A timeless story, and it's a ghost story. That's my favorite part about it.
Ultimately, it's a ghost story.
Absolutely.
It really is, and it's scary too. There are, you know, there are parts in that play, Lance, that will scare you, I'm sure, and certainly the kids out there. But each version of it, you know, there's a few moments where it's a little creepy and scary, and it's a ghost story about Christmas. I love it.
Yeah, I love anything that kind of takes the familiar and then, you know, turns it, you know, just a hair, you know, where you keep the essence of what, you know, the story is, you know, and the meaning of Christmas, but you twist it, which is, again, it's a part, the reason that I wanted to do this podcast is because of that very thing, taking something, some things that we all love, you know, Christmas and crime and therapy, and jamming them all together and seeing what we come up with, and it's very fun.
You know what I really want to see? I really want to see the version of A Christmas Carol that they were making in Scrooged, that the television production company was making with Mary Lou Retton as Tiny Tim.
That's great.
Oh, but you're right. That would be intense. It's like an action show or an action movie element to it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great.
Lee Majors as
Does Lee Majors have a podcast? He must have a podcast, right?
I don't know.
I'm gonna
Lee
Google
Meller
this.
Does.
Lee Meller does, yep.
Step into the hidden corridors of the past with Hometown History, where every episode uncovers the untold stories and secrets nestled in the streets and alleys of our own backyards. We bring history to life, revealing the extraordinary and the ordinary, from local legends to forgotten tales that shape the communities we know today. Tune into Hometown History and embark on a journey through time, right from where you are.
How's it going, everyone? It's Tim and Lance here. Have you ever wanted someone to read you creepy bedtime stories in the most velvety voice ever?
Well, you had me hooked at velvety, Tim. We are excited to share a podcast that is exactly that. It's called Nighty Night Bedtime Stories to Keep You Awake. And Tim, it's narrated by a friend of ours.
That's right. New York Times bestselling author and podcaster Rabia Chaudhry. Nighty Night is an anthology featuring classic horror stories this season and fictionalized true life stories in season one that are so creepy that you will realize reality is scarier than fiction.
And Tim, I know our favorite part of each episode is at the end when Rabia says, but wait, there's more to the story. And we get to hear those fascinating details about the author and the context of the tale. What's your favorite episode?
My favorite episode is The Tiny Hares from season one, which takes us on a harrowing journey when the narrator runs into a dangerous man in the woods. What about you?
Well, mine comes from the current season. It's called The Horla, in which we witness the protagonist spiral into a descent of madness. Tim, I feel like I'm constantly spiraling into a descent of madness, so I really relate to that one.
Well, I hear that. So dim your lights, get under a cozy blanket, and find and subscribe to Nighty Night wherever you get your podcasts.
Nighty Night, everyone.
Nighty Night, everyone.
Nighty Night, everyone.
Do you find yourself captivated by the inexplicable, entranced by enigmas, and tantalized by the unknown? We are Shane and Josh Waters, brothers who will weave you through tales that have mystified us for years. From haunted hotels to inexplicable disappearances,
our episodes offer you a panoramic view of the world's greatest mysteries, leaving no stone unturned, no clue unnoticed.
With a gripping narrative, we invite you to join us on a journey into realms of the unexplained.
We're unraveling the mysteries that have perplexed humanity for ages.
So, armchair detectives, curious minds, and seekers of the strange, it's time to put on your headphones and dim the lights.
Dive into the uncanny world of the Mystery Inc. podcast and prepare for a journey into the unknown that you'll never forget. And remember, some mysteries are better left unsolved, but not unexplored. Gather round, friend, and join me by the fire. I have a secret to share. When I was a child, I lived with my grandma. She allowed me to watch Unsolved Mysteries. Fast forward to 2008, my freshman year of college. A series of armed robberies on campus escalated into a serial rapist's reign of terror. That's when I created my first crime podcast. In January 2014, I picked up the podcast again from my college roommate who fell for an underage girl online, to the chilling story of a murdered nun in 1969 Baltimore, and in the Throwaway series, I share my own journey of overcoming homelessness and how that experience led me to unmask a serial killer and identify three of his Jane Doe victims. This is Foul Play Crime Series, where the stories are real and the truth is waiting to be discovered.
And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Thanks to our sponsors, and now we're back to the program.
Okay, while we're talking about holiday films, I wrote down in my notebook here, I think we should run through a few holiday films with you, Jason, and you can give them sort of a grade, because you're a fan of Christmas and the holiday season. So let's run through some of these. I'm going to start right off the top with probably one of the most famous ones, A Christmas Story. So what's your grade on A Christmas Story?
I'd say it's an A minus. I'm a benevolent like grade giver though. Are we comparing?
I'll give my grade C. C. Average.
C minus.
I mean, it's lasted. I don't know. It hasn't really connected.
You have to
with
watch
me.
It every year, though.
No, I don't. I don't watch it every year because it's not a classic in my family. And you know, I don't know. I don't. No shade at people who love it. I think there's some great moments, like when he gets kicked down the slide, the lamp. You know, things. Great moments. You know, to look back on, but to actually watch the movie, not my favorite thing.
Gotcha.
I might bump my grade up a little bit because I almost forgot that Zach Ward, who played Scott Farkas, follows me on Twitter. So I might have to bump that up to a B+.
Uh-oh. You better, or else we're going to tweet this at him, and he's going to get pissed that he's going to unfollow you.
He's going to make me put my tongue on the icy flagpole.
There you go.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's another memorable moment. You know, a lot of moments from that movie.
I think that's it. I think that's the thing. The moment stick.
Yeah. Maybe I got to bump my grade up a little bit, too. It's better than average, I suppose. B minus for me. Okay. How about the holiday classic Elf?
Oh, see, I'm going to end up giving all A's. I probably need to adjust my scoring. I love Elf. I love Will Ferrell. He's so funny. I can only give an A+ to a couple of ones that you might mention. I will give that a solid A.
Yeah, I'm going to be tough with these grades as well. I don't even think an A+ exists, Jason. I'm one of those annoying ass teachers.
That's fine. I get you.
But I will give Elf an A. It's hilarious. And although there's like a gigantic plot hole at the end that bothers me every single time I watch it. Other than that, the movie's hilarious. Will Ferrell's epic.
Never saw it.
What?
Never saw it. Never saw it. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Why?
I feel like I have because people just have quoted it so often to me. I feel like I know it.
It's very funny. Yeah.
Okay. Next one. Want to get a little bit more obscure here. Reindeer Games with Ben Affleck.
It's funny you mentioned that. The next episode is called Reindeer Games, although I have not seen the whole movie. I've only seen clips. So I feel like it would be something that I would like because of the campiness of it. But I can't really score it.
Okay. I really liked it. I remember seeing it in the movie theaters. It's not a good movie. It's one of those action movies that are is definitely fun to watch, and had a great director, John Frankenheimer, I believe is the last movie he ever made before he passed away. And he made some classics like The Manchurian Candidate and Reindeer Games. But it's funny. Jeez. It's a good cast. It's kind of a fun movie. I'll also give it a B-.
I'm going to go B-. Yeah, B- is good. I like that you can sit through the movie. It's entertaining for what it is. Like, it is what it is. And if you don't expect The Manchurian Candidate, then you're going to get Reindeer Games. And you're going to watch it through and say, well, no big loss.
That's great.
Yeah. How about Santa Claus versus the Martians? Or Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, actually.
Oh, God. I have not seen that.
That's from 1964.
Oh, man. I'm going to watch that.
A plus. I just need the
sci-fi
title.
Comedy.
That's it.
Yep. Yeah, you really don't need to watch it, actually. You got it. You hear the title and you get it.
All right. I'm going to do one more because I think it's so interesting that the person who made this movie also made A Christmas Story, Bob Clark, Black Christmas.
I did not see that. No, I didn't see
1974 horror film with Margot Kidder and John Saxton.
I think I've been told to watch that and I haven't yet. I haven't had time.
You've definitely been told to watch it. It's very good.
Okay.
Canadian horror film, and they've remade it twice. Once, I think, last year or the year before it came out. I didn't see that one, but the one that was released in like 2006 or something was pretty fun. But the original Canadian version is excellent and has like a twist at the end that will stick with you probably for life.
Interesting. Okay. I'll check those out. So I've got two that I watch every year, like bar none. And that's It's a Wonderful Life. These are my two A pluses. It's a Wonderful Life. And this doesn't deserve an A plus, but I love it for some reason. And that's The Polar Express. I love that movie. I watch.
Not bad.
The animation is
time.
The animation is horrible. But I love that movie. I just think it's so much fun. It gets me in the feels, but yeah.
Boy, I've got a good. I've never thought this day would come that I would be able to unleash this rant about the Polar Express on these airwaves.
Let's go.
On one hand, Robert Zemeckis, incredible filmmaker, made this movie, wrote it based on the famous book, made some of these movies like Beowulf that used the new technology, this animation, in the way that The Polar Express was made back in, was it like 2004, I believe it came out. You're right, the animation sucks. My big gripe with it is Tom Hanks. He plays like five characters.
Yes.
Why in God's name does he play five characters? He's like doing like
he's
his
like
Eddie
Mike
Murphy
Myers.
Impression. He's doing he's doing his Eddie Murphy like Tom Hanks can disguise his voice at all. He can't. He's got no range for characters like that.
But he's the same guy. That's the point. He's all the same guy.
Bullshit. Get out of here with that shit. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. The book was good. I love Robert Zemeckis. Tom Hanks, wonderful actor. Don't try to play a bunch of roles in an animated movie and do a different, somewhat of a different voice. And it turns out to be the same guy. And that's the point. Don't do that.
Here's what I would say, too. I don't know why he got away from doing live action films. Why did he get away from that? Because he is a great director. And yeah, the animation is like very, very poor. I just love the adventure of it for the kid. And, you know, it's, I don't know what it is. The score gets me, like all of that thing. And it might be because I have a kid that's also, I think the first time I saw it was probably the first year he was born, or maybe the year before he was born. You know, as a dad, I just was like, oh, this is fun. But yeah, the animation's is so not good. But what about It's a Wonderful Life? Not impressed.
Not too impressed, to be honest.
Man,
I used to love that movie, and then at some, I mean, I will say I love the last like 7 minutes before the very end, before that,
okay.
Before the angel gets his wings line.
Yeah, sure.
I love when he comes back home and he realizes all of the good things, and then the whole town is like supporting him. I like that. That gets me. Like that part gets me. The rest of it is so. Ugh.
1950.
No, just yeah, maybe that, but like it doesn't age well in my head.
Yeah, gotcha. That's a good point. I think a lot of those older holiday movies, it takes you, at least for me anyway, it sort of takes me out of it. I can't go into that world anymore. It just seems so much a different world these days. And Robert Zemeckis also made a version of A Christmas Carol, which was animated, and I believe Jim Carrey was in it. And so I guess I'm using my own argument about Tom Hanks, because I think Jim Carrey plays several roles in it, but he's Jim Carrey. He can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that was good. I actually did like that. And the animation was much better. It was like 5 years later.
Okay.
I got another question for you, Jason. while we're on the topic of holiday films, who's your favorite Santa Claus depiction of Santa Claus?
It's probably, in God Rest His Soul Now, the Ed Asner from Elf, and it might be because he just died, but I can just see him. Yeah, that might be it for me. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty tough to beat, I have to say. That was really good. He comes off authentic in Elf.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the part of the movie that bugs me, because if he does exist in the world of the movie, obviously, then where are those presents coming from? Like, the parents are all surprised that Santa Claus exists at the
sure.
end? They would know he exists.
Right. Sure. What about you, Lance?
You know what just keeps coming to my brain here is, and I don't really like it that much, but I thought... Okay, does it have to be a real Santa?
Define real Santa.
You asked the question. These are your rules.
That's a great point. Because I really like what Billy Bob Thornton did in Bad Santa.
I was going to ask how that did not come up. But that's a good one to talk about.
It's great.
And I think
really?
I think it's because I am assigning this like. I think it's funny. Like, I really think it's a funny movie. It gives me this like skin crawlies though a little bit, just because of how like bad he is, you know?
Oh yeah. That's a great movie.
It's very funny, but I just feel I have to shower after I watch it basically.
Yeah. He is pretty gross in it. I love it. He asks the kid, he's like, wait, what did the doctor drop you on your head when you were a baby? And the kid's like, my head? How did they drop me on my head? I think it's my favorite part of the whole movie.
That's great.
Like, whose head is he going to drop you on?
he God, is very, like, Billy Bob is very good in that movie, though. He's great.
Yeah.
And you said earlier that this is, the podcast has taken on a bit of a life of its own. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's just that this, you know, when I wrote the first season is 12 episodes, right? And it's modeled that way because of the 12 days of Christmas. The first day of Christmas is a partridge in a pine tree instead of a partridge in a pear tree. Now, the naming convention for the episodes don't, you know, take that the whole way through, but I thought it was like, oh, that's kind of a cool little Christmas nod. But in my mind, when I first started like thinking about this idea, it was going to be 12 episodes and that was going to be it. But as we sort of talked about, all of these other sort of storylines have sort of cropped up. And then if Santa's real in this world, if Santa's real and the Tooth Fairy's real and the Easter Bunny's real, those are other potential storylines that we could go down. And if Richie Buck is right and Santa is not a criminal, then how did he end up in this situation? Was he framed? Was he just, you know, sort of a victim of circumstance? Wrong place, wrong time sort of thing. So there are all these questions that I think we talk about in like the true crime world, that we're sort of trying to address through this, which have opened up additional questions going forward. So like I'll tell you this. So like I have reached out to a number of different, like, real people around some of the storylines of these events. And I get to say that they say no comment in every situation because they will not talk to me, which is fine. But like, for instance, Ray Stevens, who had, you know, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, which was the version I listened to growing up here in the South. I know there was an earlier version. The one I grew up listening to in the 80s and 90s was that version. So I reached out to Ray Stevens to comment on his prophetic song of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, because it is perceived that this grandma in our story got run over by a reindeer. His people got back to me and said, oh, this sounds exactly like something that he would like to talk about. And then I've heard nothing. So those sorts of things are going to be in the show, because, you know, it's funny. It's funny to me. It gives it a little authenticity for the investigation. So it really has, you know, kind of crossing a little bit of the boundaries of this world with the real world. There are a couple of other ones that will kind of come up later in the season that I think are very funny as well. But that's what I mean.
And you haven't heard anything from Mr. Ray Stevens yet?
No. He's probably blocked me. He's getting cold.
I'm trying to look up his discography right now. Here we go.
I'll use my influence with the North Pole to affect his bounty this holiday.
He wrote a song called "Would Jesus Wear a Rolex?"
He's got so many things. Like, he is this Southern, like, parody sort of comedy singer. Have you guys never heard of him before?
Only for the Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
There are some things, I mean, sorry, it's great music. Listen to it. But there are some things in there that I remember listening to as a kid. And I think it was because my grandparents just loved his music so much. So they'd pop in a cassette, you know, and just play these songs while we were on road trips or whatever. So I have there's a lot of nostalgia in it for me. And that's a big part of the show too, is this, there's this nostalgia that I connect with it throughout the holiday season. You know, for instance, with in the second episode, when anytime we talk about Rudolph, we hear his little sound. Those things take me back, and I hope it takes people that are listening back to those childhood memories of actually watching that, because I haven't watched that in years, but I loved it when I was a kid. So yeah, I think that's all part of it, is just this connection of the person as they are now to those memories sort of throughout, you know, their life of the holidays, and just giving them a good feeling. And that's sort of the Richie Buck motivation throughout the show, is making sure that's not lost, making sure that you're hanging on to the happy things that you have, because there's a lot of really crappy things, you know, that are going on right now. And this is sort of just a separate, you know, while it's sort of like, I call it untrue crime, because it is a parody. But it's an opportunity for people who enjoy the genre, the storytelling, the format, the different things, you know, the, you know, DNA, the, you know, that kind of stuff, those sorts of things, you know, feature in the show. But really it's about taking a breath out of the seriousness of true crime. You know, we will see throughout the season how it plays out, but that's sort of the idea, is this nostalgia, but with respect to the genre, respect to the holiday season and that sort of thing. And then I also want to say too, really quickly, that you know, we're trying to feature a different true crime nonprofit in every episode as well. You know, last week we did Private Investigations for the Missing. But that's another thing, is that, you know, while we're having some fun with the show, you know, we want to make sure that the serious things that need to be talked about are talked about, and the light is shine on or shined on or shone on, however you say that, on the right people and places and organizations. So that's important to me. And I know it's important to you guys as well. So that's something that I'm happy that we're doing as well.
Well, good, Jason. Thank you so much for joining us. And we use whatever tense of shine we feel like on these airwaves. We don't care. We don't care if we get emails about it. Shone, shine, we don't care.
Shin. So, shin, I use shin.
I have shin splints. So make sure you check out Santa May Be a Criminal. It's a great show this holiday season. It's really perfect for the holiday season, and it's airing new episodes now. And we hope you enjoy it. And thanks a lot for listening. And thanks for joining us, Jason.
No, thank you guys. Yeah. I appreciate
it. And it really warms my heart knowing that there's going to be spinoffs and there's going to be future seasons. It's such a great concept. And I like how you said that it's to take you out of just the seriousness of everything. And it does achieve that goal. So well done.
Well, I appreciate you guys' support. And
if you don't listen to it, then you're a cold-hearted son of a bitch, and you should really question your decisions in life.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Thank you.